Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on One Mic, we talk to the one and only Alton Cunningham. You know, that's our guy. Kicked off his journey for the MMA, budding career with a pathway to the big stage. And we promised to check back in with him to see what's happening with his journey here on RSD One Mic.
Log Talk Radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
Is for my people in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We
There is a pause throughout the stadium as the man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around the Jumbotron, shows, and fans, the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Drup.
Yes. Today, this one mic.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And if you can do that, then the people talk a lot about their tiny staff.
Today, you know, as we start this show, this one mic.
All right, welcome to RSG One Mic. This is D. Wills in the building. I'm going solo tonight because this is a special edition of One Mic. I'm here with one of my brothers. I'll bring him on in a minute. A cat who's been on a journey, even my journey at Commonwealth Health, he called me from the beginning. So, and I had a chance to just watch him grow. And we'll have a chance to check him out. We want to encourage you to go to realsportsguys.com. We want to encourage you to go to iTunes. Check us out. iTunes, just search Real Sports Guys on iTunes and like us and subscribe to us and follow us on all these platforms. You know, our motto is we catch you one at a time. All of our hosts and callers are brought to you by our good friends at Carbon World Health, complete solution for fitness, health, and beauty. Go to carbonworldhealth.com and connect with Dr. Nestor Rodriguez and let his staff, let Ashley and Giovanni and Brooke and the whole crew of them know that the Real Sports Guys sent you. Tonight, and one of the things we love these things, these journeys. We love the idea and the concept of somebody going after their dream. We talk about that a lot. He started out with us. He came on and kind of talked right before his debut about, you know, going from amateurism to going to professional ranks and taking on his thing full time. And so we're blessed tonight to have with us our man, Alton Cunningham. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man. How's it going, Devin? I'm doing good, man. Doing real good.
Well, man, it's good to have you on. And, you know, I've been watching you. And, you know, the fortunate thing about it, I mean, you even had a chance to watch me start my journey with Commonwealth Health and trying to do my whole health transformation. But, you know, I was always watching you doing your workouts and getting to know you and, you know, had a chance to, you know, kind of watch you do your thing and have appreciated watch your journey. It was an honor to be able to talk to you prior to your first professional fight, which is like for so many people like a really important moment. I think I want to kick off right there. The last time we talked, you were preparing. Talk to us what that night was like, what it was leading up to that. You know, at the point we were talking, you were cut weight, you were in that last phase. It kind of, for most combat folks, that's the ornery phase. You know what I'm talking about? You might be kicking the dog. You might be doing that at the phase. Walk people through what it was like and all the way to the victory side. Just take us through that process.
Yeah, so I believe last time that me and you talked, it was in April, and I was definitely cutting weight. That was definitely a crappy feeling, you know, going through that process with the weight cut, which is part of the process of making that weight, becoming a professional fighter, and going in there and putting in work. But Ben, I'll tell you what, every time I step inside that cage, it's a surreal moment. You know, it's like I've believed for so long that I was going to be in exactly where I'm at. Everything that I've said was going to happen has happened so far. And going back to that first fight, I fought somebody named Kyle Walker, who was very experienced. He was an experienced boxer on top of an MMA fighter. He was 2-2. And he was finishing these guys and going in there. And I went in there and I put in work. I finished them in the third round with a knee knockout. And, I mean, he was tough. He was solid. But going that transition from amateur to pro, to me, being in that cage, it really wasn't that much of a difference because I've been fighting high-level competition even as an amateur. And so making that transition over, it really wasn't that difference. Obviously, as I move forward, the competition is just going to become – it's going to be more world-class. So that first fight, it went exactly how I expected. It was kind of competitive for the first two rounds. It was kind of competitive. Second round, I started finding my range. I started figuring them out, and I was able to land some solid knees on them in that second round. And then I started realizing that's my key to victory is that clinch. So in the third round, I pressed him against the cage right away, bullied him a little bit, and I was able to pick my shots with the knees to the leg, and then I stuck one up to his face and then knocked him out. And right from there, I signed a fight right away on my birthday, of all things, you know. So, I mean, you see, yeah, so I fought on my birthday, June 24th, my second pro fight, and you know, when they offered me a fight, I was like, well, what's the date? And they were like, June 24th. I was like, get out of here. So I was like, done, you know. So usually everybody's going out on their birthday or celebrating some type of way. I celebrated my birthday by bringing in my second pro victory. It doesn't get any better than that. And it was my golden birthday. You know, you only get one of those. So,
yeah,
you know, that's a moment I'm going to remember, you know, going to that fight. I actually moved up in weight. I fought at 205 pounds for the very first time. And I fought a tough veteran named Jordan Soufster. And that first round going against him, you know, he was tough. He was a wrestler, so he dictated the pace a little bit. He was able to grind me up a little bit in the cage and work his wrestling a little bit. But during that round, I felt him tiring out. I felt that he was using a lot of energy just to try to hold me down. And I was able to keep him working on the ground. Was able to transition and work some heel hooks on it in that first round to get him thinking about other things. That round ended immediately. In the second round, I knew exactly what he was going to do. He's going to try to bully me on that cage again. So press exactly how I expected. I hit him with a jab right away. Beginning of the second round, he tried to press me against the cage. I got my Muay Thai clinch. As soon as he tried to press me against the cage, I used that energy, exerted it, and I smacked the knee, the exact right knee that I used to win my first fight. I smacked that knee right upside his forehead, and he dropped and landed a couple shots on him. He survived, but, I mean, he was bleeding. I mean, it was a bloody, bloody mess, and they were forced to stop the fight due to that cut, and it was a tough fight. Learning what I took out of that fight is you just got to be, I mean, in this sport, you got to be truly, truly well-rounded, you know, and I'm always working all aspects of the game. But learning from that fight, you know, I definitely need to spend more time working on my weaknesses and on top of my strengths as well. Just got to be truly rounding out my game and becoming an elite, not only an elite athlete, but becoming an elite fighter, you know. And you know, I used those tools from that fight, and I used that right away. 2 months later, I just fought actually in August, and
yep.
My first main event, and I fought this guy named Rex Grippentrog. And this guy, he called me out a little bit on social media, which, you know, it's fine.
I
don't care, you know. It's like, but it's one of those things where, like, man, you know, I come from a neighborhood where, like, if you're going to, you know, you're going to talk stuff, man, you got to back it up. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things where, hey, man, it's like, it is what it is. you know, but if you want the fight, just sign a contract then. You know what, man, he signed the contract. So, and, you know, during the training camp, you know, he was, it was a little bickering back and forth, you know. And then I don't use that stuff to steer me off my game. Either way, I'm going to show up and fight, you know. Like, it's something to be said mm-hmm. about somebody that, no matter if they come from the street or whatever, it's something to be said about anybody that is going to train their butt off to take everything away from you. And I don't underestimate anybody just because of that. So, and regardless of the crap talk, you know, I went in there and I mean, I put the guy away right away. Right when the fight started, I pressed him. He actually threw a kick. I mean, we collided shins. So that kind of, it kind of jacked my leg up a little bit. Not really, but, he threw a brown house right away. I checked it and I take that back. I was throwing a kick and we were like collided shins, as I mentioned, and, you know, pushed through that. It was like literally within the first 5 seconds, he threw an overhand. I ducked that, pressed him against the cage again, bullied him up on the cage. And from there, within the first like 45 seconds, he tried hitting me with a knee. Actually, I ducked that. I missed him. He actually slipped and I went right to work on him. I got on top of him, bullied him on the ground a little bit, pressed his head up against the cage, and got to doing what I do best, and that's dropping bombs. And that's how I finished the fight. I grabbed him with my right hand. I held his throat down right by the throat. I held him and just started dropping bombs on him, and he went to sleep. And I mean, it couldn't get any better than that. I literally I didn't get hit at all. You know, it was a flawless, I mean, like a Mortal Kombat flawless victory, you know. So, I mean, I won the fight by knockout within 90 seconds. And, you know, taking away from that fight, it's really the biggest lesson I learned is don't let anybody steer you away from your game, you know, like especially going into mm-hmm. the highest levels. You know, guys are going to continue, like it's only going to get worse. Guys will continue to call you out. You know, they're going to dig deep, you know, to try to steer you off your game. It's all mental. It's mental warfare, you know. And the biggest thing I took away from that fight, you know, even if it's on a local level, is not letting anybody steer you off your game regardless. You know, you still got to show up. You still got to fight, you know. And using that aspect, I mean, here we are now. You know, I'm getting ready for the biggest opportunity of my career so far. And I'm getting ready to fight for Legacy, fighting Alliance December 15th at Mystic Lake Casino in Minneapolis, outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is my official national television debut. So I'm officially stepping up to the national scale for this fight. And I mean, it's an absolute blessing to be able to fight on national television within the first year of me turning pro. I mean, it doesn't get any more surreal than that, you know, but these are all the things that I have envisioned since day one. And, you know, like it's a saying that goes, you know, fake it until you become it, you know, and that's true. You know, like I said, from day one, I knew I was a world champion. Like literally from day one, I was calling out Anderson Silva. I was calling out Chris Weidman. These guys, like, I believe even I didn't have a skill then, you know, I believe mm-hmm. that's where I was going to be at, because those are the guys that's at the highest level. So, and like I said, here I am now.
Wow. You listen to RSG One Mike. I'm here with Alton Cunningham, rising star in MMA. You know, we kind of, he's with us at the RSG platform. You know, we connected before he made his professional debut, you know, back in the spring. You know, now 3 fights later, I'm looking at, he's going to be getting ready for a nationally televised a fight, which is another phase in his development and pursuit of a world championship. And so when we come back in a few minutes, we're going to get into, you know, now we're moving into a different stage. We're going to get into, you know, how the preparation has changed and developed and grown. And we're going to get into some of those things here on RSG One Mic with our man, Alton Cunningham. So we'll be back in a quick second. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brett Bielema, the head coach of the University of Arkansas Razorbacks, and you're keeping it real with the real sports guys. Whoopig.
All right, welcome back to RSG One Mic. This One Mic is brought to you by Carbonwell Health, the complete solution for fitness, health, and beauty. Go to carbonwellhealth.com to connect with Dr. Nestor Rodriguez, Ashley, and their staff to learn more about lifestyle medicine. Tell them that the real sports guys sent you. We're here with the one and only, Alton Cunningham. Got the bow, the beast. Is your nickname going to change, evolve? What you going with right now? Are you still, you just the same OG? You know, what's
the
happening
bow,
the now to the national space? Huh?
The bow man is who I, that is, it's become a part of me, man. It's who I am, you know. It's who I transform into when I step into the cage, you know. I have this saying that I like to say called what's a beast to a bow, and pretty much, long story short, it's I'm on another level, you know. You can be a beast, but, you know, I'm a bow. You know, I'm going to outwork you. I'm going to out-train you. You know, I'm going to grind harder than you. You know, there's no beating me, you know. So that's it's a saying that I like to say, and, you know, like the – That's the bow man. That's not going to change.
I love it. I love it, man. Keep that groundedness. When you think about your training, how has your training evolved? How has that become? Because my sense is, you know, when people start out, particularly in MMA and even in boxing, you know, you're working, you're dealing, like, you're working in between stuff, you're training, but then when you get a certain level, when you start to kick in and you get these other spaces, because the money and the checks don't catch up, but you have to figure out how to carve out that time. How has your training evolved since we talked?
My training has evolved immensely, you know, like, my instructor, you know, he's a wizard in this game, and you know, if you're not adapting to the new generation of MMA, you're not going to make it. So, I mean, compared to my training now compared to in April, it's just more, honestly, just being more consistent and being a lot more disciplined, you know, like setting a plan for your training camp and completing it. You know, like if you need to be, if you set a plan to be at the gym at 9 a.m., you need to be at the gym at 9 a.m. You got to be at the gym at 6 p.m., you need to be at the gym at 6 p.m., you know, putting in the right amount of hours, you know, and grappling, wrestling, you know, making sure that I'm putting in work in all aspects of the game, you know, and on top of that, getting some training in with some of the highest level fighters that's around. You know, my last fight, I actually had King Muhammad Lawal, former Strikeforce world champion, come fly up to corner me, you know, and that was a blessing to have him come out there and corner me, you know, and me and him, we still talk to this day. He's actually coming to this next fight to corner me for this fight, you know, and he's a member of American Top Team, one of the greatest gyms in the world in terms of MMA, and I got the invite to come out there and get some training in, so that's something that I plan on doing here within the next couple months, actually, is going down to Florida, going to Coconut Creek and training at American Top Team. On top of that, we have affiliate gym out in Amsterdam, right outside Amsterdam, and that's another gym that I plan on making that trip up to sometime in 2018. Those guys actually came up here this year around January, and we got a good solid weekend with those guys, and I mean, it's great. It was great training, you know, getting beat up, you know, and you know, getting your butt kicked,
right,
and learning something, you know what I mean? Like, it's a humbling experience.
If you have to think about a phase in the game that you need to continue to develop, what would you say that is?
You know, I would say probably a little more of my grappling, you know what I mean? But it's hard to say, you know, because, you know, I could say my grappling, but there's guys out there that is truly elite strikers, you know what I mean? So I would say more in general, just being a complete fighter. You know, you can be a complete fighter at, you know, certain levels, you know, working, just being a lot more technical in general, you know what I mean? And I don't want to sit and point out, like, one certain area, you know what I mean? You know, like, but I say just becoming, staying true and becoming a complete martial artist. And when you think that you're complete, you know, finding a way to get to that next level, if that makes sense.
Well, that truly makes sense. So have they identified who you're going to be fighting on this national card?
Yeah, I'm actually able to release that name right now. I'm fighting a guy from Kansas.
Okay.
His name is Dominic Garcia. He's 4-1, and you know he's tough. But I just believe that I'm gonna break his will, and I'm gonna push forward. And once I put my hands on him, I believe that he's gonna realize that he's in there with a completely different beast, and the fight it's not gonna work out well for him.
Well, you see that we release. See, this is what happens with fam. We get to release the name of the opponent on Real Sports Guys. This is what I love, man.
I didn't even put it on Facebook. I got people messaging me like, "Hey, man, what? You know, like who you fighting?" I'm like, "Soon, brother, soon." You know, but you know, I was waiting for the perfect time.
When we drop it out there, you know what I mean. Tell them to listen to this if they want to find out who you fighting. They can listen to this to find out who you're fighting. Do me the
absolutely,
favor.
So
they know it's exclusive on it. Man, as we do on One Mic, we do it with all of them. The great Doug Fisher, who is one of the greatest, you know, one of these nationally known, you know, boxing analysts, he's the editor of Ring Magazine, even did this. And so you get to do this honor. On One Mic, we ask our guests to drop the mic. You get the 4 words. You get to say whatever you want to say to the people. And then you just say, "I'm dropping the mic." And so I'm going to sit back and let you drop the mic.
Team Bowman, this is Alton the Bowman Cunningham. What's a beast to a bow? And we're keeping it real. We're Real Sports Guys.
Good segment, man. You just dropped the mic like that. I don't need it. We don't need to do the other one. We don't have to do the 3-1. You've already done it. I'll just cut that and get it going. So I'm going to edit it. And then I'll edit it tonight. And I'll have it ready to release, I would say, here in a few hours. And then it might even be sooner than that. Depends on the quality of things. I'll download it and have it edited. Then I'll have it up, and I'll text you or send you something through Snapchat and let you know that it's up and live. I'll send you the link, and then you can drop it on
phone. I'll send you my phone number, too.
Yeah, send me your phone number. You can text it to 815.
Just a second. Actually, I'll send you my phone number on Snapchat.
Yeah, send us that. I'll take it, and then I'll text it to you, and then I'll let you release it to everybody. Then I'll start doing my promotion. So we'll release your podcast on your page. Let them know if they want to know; they can listen to it. And then I'll start doing the marketing off of that.
It's crazy, man. I didn't realize. You know, like that's a perfect opportunity. People know who I fight. You know, they come and listen to the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, well, who are you fighting?
And
listen to the podcast.
That's it. Listen to the podcast, and then they get to sit again. You get to lay your journey out again, and we keep it moving, man. And as I get big, I see you want some sponsorship. Hopefully, as I grow, I want to get some RSG on you. You know,
absolutely.
I want to get a shirt on you. You know, when you
I'm
come on in,
to
man,
that.
I'm growing as you're growing. So we're on this journey together, brother. And so, but by the time you end up. You know, I'm going to try to get more and more of that space when you're fighting. So I'm trying to get myself together so I can be in those spaces when you out there, man. But you keep doing what you're doing, man, and I'm proud of you, man. I've watched where you started. And so it means so much to me to watch you, you know, realize your dream.
Thank you, man. It's a blessing having guys like you, having guys like Nestor, you know, giving me this platform. You know, really, it's just crazy, you know, how things come together. You know, being, you know, I got my teammate actually is the one that you know referred me to Nestor. You know, met with Nestor, and you know, I'm becoming their first Carbon World Health sponsored athlete. You know that they signed, and from there, meeting you giving me this platform. You know, to build my brand, you know what I mean? Like it's a blessing.
It is a blessing, man, and knowing that, you know, one of my colleagues on my staff connected me with Nestor. We actually went out when he was working at the university, out to UCLA together with a team from the university. That's how we became friends. And crazy, you know, breakdown in a program I was supposed to do on campus, I ended up doing in his shop. And so this something's meant to be. This stuff just doesn't happen, man. You know, Lord is looking out for all of us to get in the right place, man. And so, you know, stay true to it, man. Stay on that grind. You know, I'm going to be watching you. And so, you know, if I get my life together, I'm going to be in more of those spaces with you. But, you know, I'm always going to be tracking you. We'll get you back on here. You know, we'll try and get back on here, you know, quarterly, you know.
After the television debut.
Come back on here. Huh? You know.
After the television debut, it's perfect.
Yeah. So this is, we'll keep this thing rolling, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Devin. It's an honor, man. I mean that a lot. Like, it's an honor.
All right, brother. Well, you take care. Be blessed. I know you got work to do. Rest and get. And then I'll send you this as soon as it's ready.
Okay, sounds good, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right, then. Yep, take care.
All right.
Yep, bye.